Today's scripture is a gospel reading, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jerry, and beautiful choir, and all of those who help bring your gifts in service to God here this morning. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, our Savior, our Christ, our Messiah, our light of the world, speak through me, and if need be, speak in spite of me, that your word of love is heard this morning. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, I preached part one of a sermon series, and I'm telling you that because I'm afraid if I ask you to remember what I did 2 weeks ago, well, let's just say I'm just telling you that, right? The series was called, is called Shine the Light, and the part one sermon was titled One Nation Under God. And in that sermon, you were invited to make some decisions about the kind of person you are. You were invited to think about your understanding of our Christian mandate and also where it aligns the mandate given to us by the pledge that we make to our American flag. And you were invited to choose right then the person you would be up to and through the election cycle and even in the days beyond, including now and forward. And it seemed important to me to make that kind of choice before we knew how the election would go. To choose who you are based on principle, to decide your core values and how you intend to uphold those, no matter the outcome of any rainy or sunny day. I hope you gave some thought to this, because in order to claim the name Christian, we are called to show up with some very specific character traits, no matter what's going on in the world around us. So today, we come back together post-election, and I am sure we can probably all say that it's been a challenging season for us individually and as a community and a nation. We have seen and perhaps expressed passionate differences. We have felt strong emotions and wrestled with our hopes and fears for the future. But importantly, we came back together, which is one of those character traits of the people called Christian. that no matter the conditions of the day, we come together. Despite hurricanes or earthquakes or fires or elections, we gather together again, perhaps with wounds even still open or pain still aching. We gather in the name of Jesus, the one who came with truths far higher and greater than any government or political belief. And when the people of God gather, particularly when we gather when we might rather not, in that coming together, we shine. A reflection, to be sure, of the one who called himself the light of the world. We reflect the light of Christ. Can you see it, church? Can you feel it? Because the world is watching us, waiting to see how we will respond. And let us ensure they see light, they see shine, the sign that the Spirit is in the building. We shine. Now, today's scripture, Matthew 5, known as the Beatitudes, Jesus speaks to the people who have gathered, a crowd, and they are filled with so many differences. People coming with so much hope and so many fears, with different stories and different needs and different beliefs on the best way forward in that day. And he called them blessed. The word is better translated as happy, as Jerry read it this morning. Now, it would seem to me that they had a whole lot of things to decidedly not be happy about. But Jesus sees with the heart of God, and not the heart of humankind. He recognizes the poor and the brokenhearted, those who are insulted and those who feel hopeless. He sees them. He gives them name. He calls them out. He gives them voice. And he says that in their brokenness, they are one with the heart of God, and they are blessed. He lifts up the humble and the merciful and the peacemakers, and he sees them. He gives them name, and he says they are blessed. And then he says, you are the light of the world. He says this to them, those people, to that group of folks. He says this to them. They are the ones who shine. They are the light that shines in places that others thought could remain hidden in shadow. They are the light that keeps children from being afraid of the monsters under the bed. They are the light that exposes differences, but brings with it the heart of God with love and mercy and humility and peace. Now we, as heirs, as children of the Beatitude people, of the original Beatitude receivers, we are told here today these same words of Christ, that we are the light that shines. It is us, the light of the world. Friends, disagreement is unavoidable, especially in polarizing political culture and that we're currently a part of. But division is a choice. Jesus never expected people to agree on everything, but he does call us to love always and unconditionally in the midst of differences. And in that tension that's created by disagreement, we can find the most fertile ground for growth. We can find empathy, and we can adjust our attitudes, and we can begin to see each other as we all are, all of us in our brokenness, and all of us with our fears, all people who want the same things, the same outcomes, and all beloved children of God. We can be real here today, right, for a moment, that the more politically diverse our relationships are, the harder it might feel to love one another. It's challenging to find yourself at a dinner table with people who see the world completely differently than we do. And it's difficult to open our hearts to those whose views may make us uncomfortable. but it's discomfort. And Jesus calls us to be different, expects us to be different. In Philippians 2, verse 14, Paul writes, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." And Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Paul says that we have the ability to black out that light with our sour grape attitudes. And he says, don't grumble or argue, be blameless and pure, and that you will shine like stars in the sky. And Jesus says, you are the light that shines. Now, church, for a moment, let's not act like our feelings are all that has been injured in the past week. For those who feel that pain, the light that we are meant to be is meant to be a source of hope, especially for those who are struggling, for those who are afraid, for those who feel marginalized. And we have an obligation to care for the oppressed, to see them, to hear them, and love unconditionally. We have an obligation to stand as safe places for those on the margins, to the ones who feel they have no voice and no hope. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah and declared his own personal mission statement as he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free." Jesus's mission statement. This is the heart of our Savior. Jesus' ministry was first and foremost geared toward the oppressed. And if this is the heart of Jesus, then it must be our heart also. So while we will commit to working hard to hear and understand differences of ideology and political agendas and governance styles, it remains true that as the body of Christ, we must stand firm in compassion, empathy, and commitment to support and uplift the weary and the worried. The calling is not optional. It's central to who we are. As it says in Micah 6:8, "God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God doesn't call us to serve only those we agree with or only those who feel hopeful. God calls us to serve everyone, to seek justice for the oppressed, to show mercy, to walk humbly. Friends, we are called to shine, not to be people of victory or loss. It would be clear that in the terms of the world, Jesus lost his victory. But it was not so. We are called to be bridge makers. We're called to reach across divides. We're called to care deeply for one another and to remember that every person is precious in God's sight. This is an opportunity to show the world the love of Christ, a love that transcends differences, a love that brings peace, and a love that never fails. Now, in a moment, after we pray, you will be invited to come forward and to light a candle and to consider it your commitment, your yes to Jesus' words of saying, you are the light of the world. Now, I intentionally have left out the same candles that we lit last week as we remembered our departed loved ones, our saints. And I've done so with the belief and the hope that they are here with us, bringing in their wisdom and their light and their love to blend with our own and to give us better sense of our way forward. That we can be the people that Jesus believes we are. Friends, this is our moment to shine. Not because we are victorious, or because we have it all figured out, but because we are willing to be a people of humility. of humbleness, of mercy, and love, and forgiveness. So in a moment, after we sing our prayer to God, that God will continue to bless us, not a victory song, a prayer. In a moment, won't you come forward and help our shine be brighter? Help unite our light as one. The world needs that. Maybe your heart needs that. The community needs that. We can never be broken when we shine as one light.